Hello and welcome to the My Happy Mind Conversations podcast. I am Laura Earnshaw, the founder and CEO of My Happy Mind, an award-winning and NHS-backed program in schools, nurseries and homes, totally dedicated to helping to prevent mental health issues in later life. We are a research-backed organization with accolades coming out of our ears for the work that we do to support teachers, parents and children in having good mental health. I'm also the author of the best-selling book, My Happy Mind. I sit on the board of the Mental Health Foundation. I'm chair of governors at a school, and I'm a mum to two children as well. So I have a thing or two to say about children and young people's mental health. Thank you for being here. This podcast is for you. Whether you're a parent or a teacher or someone with an interest in the space, I'm here to help you to understand tips and tricks and science-backed strategies that work when it comes to building young people's mental health. So let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the My Happy Mind Conversations podcast. And in this series, I am focusing on some of the biggest conversations, the biggest questions that we get asked, and also some of the biggest issues that I'm seeing right now for children, for parents and for teachers, in an effort to try and help you with some really practical strategies to move forward from wherever you may be right now. And in my last episode, I talked all about the importance of prevention and where it should sit. So if you haven't tuned into that one, definitely give it a listen. I keep all of my podcast episodes quite short because I think sometimes we need them to be short in order to be able to get through them. If you're anything like me, you are busy, you are racing around, you are doing a million and one things. And sometimes I'll see a podcast advertised and I'll be super interested in the topic, but it's like an hour long or sometimes even an hour and a half. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I really want to hear about this topic, but who's got an hour and a half? I mean, I don't. So I end up listening to episodes like that over, you know, maybe three dog walks or three car journeys, and they kind of lose their power for me because I'm not able to just digest them, understand them, and then move on. So that's why I try and keep all of my episodes pretty short, with a view to giving you hopefully enough of a perspective to be able to think things through and then take action. That's my aim with all of my episodes and all of my content. So I hope that that is useful. Actually would love to hear your feedback on that. Would you like me to do some longer form content? Or are you happy with these kind of, you know, 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes at a stretch episodes? Let me know. Always really keen to hear whether or not these episodes are right for you, because ultimately that's what I'm doing it for, to help you. So with all of that said, what I wanted to talk to you about today is one of the themes that I'm hearing increasingly as being a real challenge. And I'm hearing about this from parents who are in our families program, who are saying that this is a real issue for them. I'm hearing about it from primary schools increasingly, who are saying that this is a real issue for them. And increasingly, I'm hearing it from the NHS and from the people that we work with to fund our program, that they are seeing this issue as being one of the biggest ones that is leading to referrals into specialist services like CAMHS, which is the service that supports children who are really at the point of need. And that issue is self-esteem. It is something that I am increasingly hearing about, something that I really believe is one of the foundations of good mental health. And what I'm hearing about consistently is right now, it's being really challenged. It's a challenge for kids. It's a challenge for parents in dealing with their kids. It's a challenge in the home. It's a challenge in school. And parents aren't sure what to do and are feeling really sad about it, understandably. And so are teachers. You know, one of the things that I always come back to in my conversations with parents, my conversations with teachers, my conversations with the NHS, is that teachers are not trained in teacher training to know how to put in place the science-backed preventative strategies that work to enable good mental health. That's not their fault. It's just not on the curriculum. There's some stuff on the curriculum around how do you identify mental health issues, but again, referring back to my last episode, we need to shift that conversation. We shouldn't just be talking about the issues. We have to be talking about the solutions. We have to be focusing on prevention as well. And so my big frustration with this is that we have this amazing opportunity to enable our teachers to be a really effective early help and preventative service to parents and to those kids by giving them the education. And of course, that's what we do through the My Happy Mind for Schools program. But there's such a missed opportunity to be supporting teachers as they come through the training program as well. But that's another whole other episode. So this issue of self-esteem is really tricky because often it's not well understood. Okay, so let's just roll this back to the basics. What is self-esteem? What does it even mean? So self-esteem is, in its simplest form, the extent to which we like ourselves. Okay, so if we have good self-esteem, it generally means that we feel good about who we are, we feel good about ourselves. And if we have less good self-esteem, that generally means that we don't feel good about who we are. Okay, we have low self-esteem, which leads to low confidence, which can then spiral into all sorts of other mental health issues. And in fact, getting self-esteem right is one of the most powerful things that you can do as a parent, that you can do as an educator, that you can do as a friend, to help children to have good mental health. Okay, so if we can get self-esteem right, so much good things come from that. So children who have good self-esteem do better in all parts of their life. They do better in their relationships, they will do better academically, they will do better in pursuing their goals, whether they are, you know, goals in sport or creative goals or academic goals. They will just do better. When we have good self-esteem and we feel good about who we are, we will have more confidence, we will feel happier, and we will be able to do better. Am I selling this to you yet? Can you see why self-esteem is so important and why it's such a huge component of the My Happy Mind program in schools? It's one of the biggest things we do is support children to have good self-esteem. Now, if you want to learn more about the science of self-esteem, definitely check out my book because I go into it in loads more detail than I have time for today. But essentially, there are some really simple things that you can do, which I go into practical strategies around in the book that I will come on to later in this episode. But if there was one thing that as a parent or as a teacher, I was going to ask you to do with your child or your children, the children that you teach or the children that you parent, it would be to focus on their self-esteem. I really believe it's that powerful. So where does it come from? What are the things that either promote good self-esteem or that can sadly lead to low self-esteem? Well, here's the thing. The thing that makes us feel good about ourselves is understanding and feeling good about who we are as an individual. Understanding and feeling good about our character, about who we are, whether that's our humour or our curiosity or our kindness, right? Those are the things that make up our character. And it's when we feel good about those things that we have good self-esteem. Here's the problem. Our society is geared around focusing less on character and more on competence. What do I mean by competence? What reading level are you on? Do you know your times tables yet? How neat is your handwriting, right? Now, this isn't school's fault. This is not school's fault. I say that twice because it's important. But the reality of how schools get measured, right? The targets that school are given, the things that they have to demonstrate, is that they are broadly focused around competence targets, SAT scores. How many of your children have reached the right reading level? What's the numeracy skills like of your cohort? They're all competence-based things. And guess what? What gets measured is what gets done. So when schools are being told that if you don't reach these standards, you're going to get a rubbish Ofsted score, or if schools are being told that there will be consequences if your school doesn't hit these targets, guess what? The school have no choice but to focus on those competence-based areas, which is why it can feel like, as a parent, and believe me, it can feel like as a teacher, that sometimes in primary schools, there's too much focus on competence and not enough focus on the individual child. Again, this isn't school's fault. This isn't the teacher's fault. It's not the head teacher's fault. It's the fault of the system, and it's the fault of the societal norms which are putting more focus on achievement than on mental health, than on well-being, than on the individual. And I think so often as parents, we look to blame the teachers or blame the schools. And I really want you to hear that, because it's not their fault. They're being judged, they're being measured on a set of targets that unfortunately, in my view, promote an over-focus on competence and an under-focus on character. And in cases, that can lead to there being a lack of focus on celebrating the character of individuals, which leads to a lack of focus on building self-esteem. Because what happens is that children become defined by their ability, their times table test results, their spelling results, their reading level, and they don't become defined by their character, because that's not what they're hearing in school. They're not hearing praise for their character as much as they are for their competence. So no wonder they start to focus more on that as an individual. And guess what? Praising a child for their competence does not build their self-esteem. I'm going to say it again because it's really important. Praising a child for their achievements, for their grades, does not build long-term self-esteem. Here's what does. Praising a child for their character, for their unique strengths, for who they are. So if you want to build your child's self-esteem, or you want to build the self-esteem of the children that you teach, you have to find a way of spending more time praising their character than their competence. That's what we help with in the My Happy Mind programs, whether that's the families program or the schools program, because we help you do that with a series of lessons and a whole curriculum around celebrating character and helping you move the dial on self-esteem. But if you're listening to this as a teacher who doesn't have our program, or a parent who doesn't have our program, that's the biggest piece of advice I can give you. Focus on praising their character more than praising their competence, and watch their self-esteem skyrocket. And here's the other thing that's really important. Each and every one of us has the ability, whether you're listening to this as a teacher or a parent or an educator or a health professional, we all have the impact to change the self-esteem and improve the self-esteem of the children that we work with, or the children that we parent, or the children that we care for. I want us to stop thinking that all of this stuff is too hard for us to do. I want us to stop thinking that it's beyond our control. I know it can be really hard. I have been there. I know it can feel like you don't know what to do. But if you have a child, or you're working with children whose self-esteem is just not where you want it to be, take a sustained period of time and focus on celebrating their character, and you will see a huge shift. Again, if you want to learn more about how you can do that and have some practical strategies in your toolkit, grab my book. That's why I wrote it, to help people with a really low investment be able to learn this stuff for themselves. But please, please, please don't fall into the trap of thinking, I'm not capable of helping this child or my child with their self-esteem. You are. We all are. So I hope that's been helpful. I hope it's provoked some thought. As always, please, please, please give me some feedback on this episode. It really helps me to know that it's helping, or that you need more of something or less of something. It'll take you, what, like 5 seconds? But it'll give me a wealth of inspiration and motivation to keep recording more episodes. So I hope you've enjoyed it. Please give it a review and a like and a share with anyone who you think might benefit from listening to this. And I will see you in the next episode. Take care and bye for now. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I really hope that you found this episode useful. If you did, it would mean the world to me if you could like and share it and just leave me a comment below. You never know how much it helps for us to get feedback on the content we put out there so we can bring you more of what you like. Also, if you're interested in learning more about My Happy Mind and how we do what we do, definitely check out a copy of my best-selling book, My Happy Mind. You'll find it on Amazon or wherever you buy your books. Thanks again for listening, and I'll be back soon with more. Bye for now.